What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow! Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, let's dive in. The final from Baltimore on this Monday night. Orioles take the opener 6-4. In walk-off fashion, and what an exciting, interesting roller coaster of a game. Bobby goes big fly, Salvi does two. Micah Waka gives you a chance to win, but the Royals just couldn't take this game. Now could they? Phone lines are open for you. I'm interested to see where you want to take this one tonight. The phone number, same as the text line number, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. They had opportunities to obviously not close it out, but to secure this game in their back pocket, to put a little cushion between them and the Baltimore Orioles. They had opportunities to take the game. They just didn't. They fought, they extended the game, they prolonged the game, they fought to win the game. I'm not trying to take anything away from the boys in blue tonight, but they just couldn't take it. 0-3 now in these 50-50 ball games, these jump ball games. Four straight games in which your starting pitcher has given you a chance to win. You've been able to secure one of them. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Royals had a chance to take an early lead thanks to a pair of Orioles errors in the first inning. Two errors in one frame. Royals do not capitalize. They have another opportunity in the eighth inning, second and third, with nobody out and nobody scores. They had a chance to take the game, a tie game there in the eighth inning, 3-3, take it. Salvi unable to do so, Hunter Renfro unable to do so, Nick Lofton unable to do so. Two errors, two in scoring position with nobody out equals nada. Just couldn't take the game. The Orioles, on the other hand, they fought to win the game. They extended the game. They prolonged the game with some great defensive efforts. They made the plays. They made the pitches. And they ultimately take advantage of being at home, getting the final AB, and they walk it off in the ninth inning. A horrible pitch from Nick Anderson. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. 0-2. And you're going to cover that much of the plate up in the zone. Salvi set up. What? Salvi has the glove set up. What? Two balls outside the plate? Two balls off the plate. And Nick Anderson throws that 0-2 offering just over the outside portion of the plate. And Westberg did not miss it, going opposite field for a walk-off two-run blast. And the Orioles come out on top. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. I'll be honest with you. This, to me, is one of those games that shouldn't alter how you feel about this ball club whatsoever. If you were encouraged coming into today, encouraged with what you saw against Minnesota, encouraged with the team's dismount from that season opening series against the Twins with that big 11-0 win yesterday. If you were encouraged, excited, had some real anticipation for today's game, you should feel exactly the same way tomorrow. That's my opinion. Because the reason why you were encouraged is, well, it begins with the starting pitching, giving you a chance to win night in and night out. That continued. Bobby Witt Jr. looking like a top five MVP candidate. That obviously continued. 2-for-5. He now has three straight multi-hit games. Salvi's gone bridge in back-to-back games. 913-586-7610. I feel no different than I did 4.5 hours ago. Still excited for tomorrow because not only the pitching, but this is exactly what I think you and I envisioned when the season started. No, Bobby's a star. Salvi's a star. The rotation is showing the type of stability we haven't seen in 8 years in Kansas City. And it's going to come down to the execution of the young position players in those key spots that ultimately dictate who wins and loses these jump ball games, these 50-50 games. Nick Lofton had an opportunity. Vinny Pasquantino had an opportunity. MJ Melendez had an opportunity, unable to come through. Now, credit to the other side. I have no issue saying credit to the other side because, boy, Vinny's opportunity was robbed by Anthony Santander in right field. Kyle Isbell's opportunity was robbed by Anthony Santander in right field. But still, 0-3 now in these 50-50 games, these jump ball games. We talk so much about you're going to win 54, you're going to lose 54. What do you do with the other 54? It appears right now the Royals are 0-3 in those other 54. You go back to the opener, it's a 1-1 game going to the third inning. Royals should have been 2-2 after three. They go on to lose 4-1. Look at game two of the season against Joe Ryan. Royals lead 1-0 after six, 1-0 after seven, go on to lose 5-1. The blowout win yesterday, and then today, you're tied up at three apiece after three. Tied up at three after four. And the tie game remains until the eighth inning. And you come out on the losing end. If this season is going to allow you and I to celebrate in the summer months, to enjoy the autumn chill at Kauffman Stadium, if that's going to happen, guys like Lofton and Melendez, Garcia, like he did tonight, Vinny Pasquantino, the names that you and I cheered on in August and September of last year, those guys got to take games like this. You can't wait for Minnesota, a defending division champion, to give it to you. Can't wait for the Orioles to give it to you, because they're not going to do that. They're going to ultimately take it, especially when you're playing in their house. So again, the phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We welcome, for the first time this season, Big T and Shawnee making his 2024 debut. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Vern, man, good hearing your voice. Thank you for taking my call. And Vern, I like to start off, when I was listening to your On Deck show, that segment you had about Bobby Witt and what his teammates said about him, especially Salvador Perez, when he said he'd be the best Royal ever, just gave me goosebumps and just made me imagine – the big games are in the future that man's going to have. Way to go. That was good stuff. Everybody should go back and listen to that. And then yesterday's game was an Easter treat, Vern. I just want to throw this in really quick. That when they, after the game, when they're interviewing Bobby Witt and Brady Singer, Singer had his hat off. I just kind of looked at him and I was like, man, he looks like a grown man. And he pitched like a grown man. I think he's going to have a special year. The game tonight, I'm just not disappointed. They're playing really good baseball. They need to clean some stuff up. Too many people left on base. They'll learn that timely hitting. Blanco is an asset. He's a weapon. The bullpen, you know, you got to close those out, and they'll find that over time, everybody. This is going to be a good team. Follow the Royals. Jump aboard. Salvi, he's rolling. Vinny, he'll get it going. But like I said, they got to clean some stuff up. We'll be fine. They're battling. Jump aboard, and as always, let's go Royals.
I appreciate the optimism, Big T. We gotta win one of these games. Win one of these it's late and it's close type of ball games. Because losing games like this doesn't allow those young bats that we talk about so often, those young bats that in those quiet moments when their head hits the pillow, the voice of doubt that we all have booms. And that voice of doubt is questioning whether or not, maybe some guys aren't concerned of whether or not I'm a big leaguer anymore. Okay? But the question of, am I good enough to win, or to be an everyday player on a championship team? Are we, as a squad, is this lineup good enough to be a championship team? Now, those kind of questions matter, because if you're uncertain of the caliber of the hitter lined up behind you in the batting lineup, if you're questioning his ability to slow his heart rate, if you're thinking, hey, the guy behind me, man, he is going through it right now. You know what? I think it's best if I get this job done right now and try to hit a five-run home run. You need to start winning these games to teach that clubhouse that what we have is enough. The guy on the hill is going to give us a chance to win. The veterans in the bullpen have a track record that say, Will Smith is better than his debut. Chris Stratton is better than his debut. Nick Anderson's better than what we saw tonight. Now, Big T, you and I can talk about what they may have or what we believe they have, but they need to see it. Vinny and MJ, Kyle Isbell, Nelson Velasquez, they need to see it. Now, they're seeing it with the rotation, not seeing it yet with the bullpen, not seeing it yet from their offensive teammates, not seeing it yet from the guy that's hitting behind them, not seeing it yet from the guy that's hitting in front of them, not seeing those big-time moments slowed down and properly executed. They're not seeing it, so you throw more pressure on your shoulders. I'm with you, Big T. I like the makeup of this team. I've liked the makeup of Royals teams in the past that have had losing records, bad seasons. And oftentimes it comes back to that slow start, the loss of confidence because of said slow start. You get away from the game during the All-Star break, you reset, you come back refreshed, and then we see that strong second half finish. I don't think anybody's interested in that in 2024. It's about getting off to a solid start. It's about maintaining through May. It's about surviving in the deep end. I only won one of these games in Baltimore. I'm not panicking. I'm not screaming. I ain't angry just yet. Got to win me one. Reagans goes in the finale and squares off with Corbin Burns. Alec Marsh goes tomorrow. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals lose in walk-off fashion, 6-4 the final. We go to Nathan in Kansas City. Nathan, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
I mean, yeah, like, I totally agree with the last guy. Like, the Royals are going to be fine. A loss like tonight is going to hurt, but, like, it's going to be okay. Nick Anderson's going to have a night where he gives up a bomb or something like that. And Hunter Renfro, he had some situational hitting opportunities today, and he's not going to be 0 for whatever he is all year. So it just kind of sucks that these kind of things happen right now.
0 for 11, Hunter Renfro, thus far this season. And to your point, Nathan, thank you very much for the phone call. I said as much back on Saturday after his most recent 0-for. Hunter Renfro has a track record that, in my opinion, allows me to remain patient. Not overly patient. Now, we get to the finale of this series and the Royals are still looking for a win. My patience will begin to thin. But six straight seasons with at least 50 extra base hits, six straight seasons with 20 home runs, he's done that. Right? That's on the back of the baseball card. That's on the baseball reference page. You can't take that away. This isn't the first 0-for-11 stretch of Hunter Renfro's career, and yet he's able to overcome it and put up numbers like those I just mentioned. Speaking of numbers, how about Salvador Perez with that two-run blast in the third inning, a 1-2 cutter off the plate. Man, is this dude strong. A two-run home run, 418 feet to dead center field, put the Royals up 3-0 in the third inning. Waka would give those three runs back in the fourth, and we remain tied at three until the eighth inning. But that home run for Salvador Perez, number 248 in his career, that ties Hall of Famer Ted Simmons for 12th most in baseball history among primary catchers. 248 home runs. He's now 69 away from George Brett's franchise record. Unfortunately, it's still a loss. 6-4, Orioles come out on top. Let's go to Kathy in Los Angeles. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I stayed an extra hour at work because I had the game on my computer at work. And what encouraged me is the way that they fought. This Orioles team was a team that completely bodied the Angels in two games and did really well last year. I think they won the National League or the American League East. So, everybody's expecting really good things out of the Orioles. But I thought, the Royals looked really good today, fighting hard and then, staying in the game with them. So I'm really encouraged about this team this year.
Yeah, you're right, Kathy, as far as the ability to lock it back in after James MacArthur sees a run come across in the eighth inning. Yeah, for them to lock it back in after a leadoff strikeout from Nelson Velasquez, Kyle Isbell singles to left and is replaced by Dairon Blanco, who steals second, steals third, and an eight-pitch at-bat from Michael Garcia ends in a game-tying sacrifice fly. Yeah, there wasn't much sulking. There was obviously belief in that dugout and belief on that field that the Royals were going to tie that game up. Happy to see the fight. Always nice to hear from you, Kathy. Thank you very much. Phone line opens up for you. 913-586-7610. And along those lines, looking at the text line here, from the 620, Vern, I'm happy with how competitive we were tonight. And in my opinion, this isn't one of those 50-50 games, Vern. We should lose against the Orioles every time if you just look at the talent. Yeah, I don't know about that. See, to me, that's a mindset that... Well, I don't know. What I wanted to say was that's a mindset that gives the organization a pass for losing, but I mean, I guess I came into the series saying I only want one. I'm just asking them to avoid drowning in the deep end, maintain through May, because if they can maintain through May, I don't see any reason why they can't maintain through July. And you know on the other side of July is August, and suddenly, oh my God, exciting August baseball at Kauffman Stadium? But I don't know how you wouldn't call this a jump ball game, a 50-50 game. It was 3-3 going to the eighth. I mean, if that's not a 50-50 game, it's a tie game going to the bottom of the ninth inning. Again, I just have a tough time acting as if the Royals are in such a stark disadvantage compared to these upper echelon teams in Major League Baseball. I mean, Bobby or Adley is the best player on the field tonight. Bobby's either the best or the second best player on the field tonight. So you have arguably the best player. You go pitcher for pitcher. Sure, they get Corbin Burns, and I think I'll take Cole Reagan second overall in that draft. Grayson Rodriguez or one of the veteran arms for the Royals. I think we could have a debate as far as one game. I need to win it. Who am I going to? Oh, certainly, yeah. Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, Anthony Santander, Ryan Mountcastle. I understand. Yeah, they got some thunder in that lineup. No doubt about it. Cedric Mullins represented our country in the World Baseball Classic. Westberg's a guy that's going to be able to run into 15-20. Sure, but good pitching beats good hitting every day of the week, and I think the Royals have as stable a rotation, as consistent a rotation as you're going to find, certainly in this division, and one of the best in the American League. Because if we think the Royals should lose every time they face a team the caliber of the Baltimore Orioles, well, what are we even doing talking about maintaining through May? If we're waving white flags against the Baltimores and Houstons and Texas and New Yorks and Torontos and Tampas, you'll be lucky to win 65 games. I appreciate you listening. Text line always open. 913-586-7610. From the 816 and our guy Raj in the Ozarks, Vern, the difference to me was at first base. Ryan Mountcastle against Nick Lofton, and it's not even close. Vern, we're going to have to scratch and claw for every win in these close games this season. Great job starting pitchers. And by the way, what was the runners in scoring position numbers tonight, Vern? Royals went 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. The Baltimore Orioles went 2-for-6. Yeah, Nick Lofton. My phone certainly blew up when he was unable to make that pick on a one-hopper from Bobby Witt Jr. That would have been the third and final out of that eighth inning. Would have maintained that 3-3 game going to the ninth inning. Nick Lofton entered the game as a pinch hitter for Adam Frazier, as Matt Quatrero has been very open. I'm using all 26. I'm using all 13 position players. And this isn't the first time that he's pinch hit for Adam Frazier in the latter innings. Did so back on Saturday, bringing in Garrett Hampson to face a lefty, and he brought in Nick Lofton today to face a lefty. Lofton goes 0-for-2 with a pair of punchouts. And then when Garrett Hampson comes in to pinch run for Vinny Pasquantino in the eighth, Lofton shifts over to first. And a couple of tough plays for Lofton there in that crucial eighth inning. From Adley Rutschman's one out, hard, ground ball, line rocket, right at Nick Lofton at first base. He turns into an NHL goalie and knocks it down. It's a tough play. You know, instead of two outs with a man on second base, it's one out with first and second. James MacArthur then gets Anthony Santander to line out to Kyle Isbell. And MacArthur got the ground ball he was looking for with two on and two outs in a tie game. Mountcastle rolls one over, hits it to the 5.5 hole. Bobby Witt Jr. goes down to a knee, backhands it, makes a strong throw, one-hop throw to Nick Lofton at first, but he's unable to make the pick that, in my opinion, a big leaguer needs to make. My phone blowing up with people wanting to crush Q, and that's obvious that Nick Lofton's not comfortable at first base. What are you doing putting him there? We'll see what he does moving forward with Nick Lofton in first base, but I'm sorry. Make the play. Make the pick. He has the hands. He's a third baseman. He's a shortstop. He's a second baseman. 21 of his 81 innings defensively in spring training were at first. 41 of his 127 big league innings last year defensively were at first base. Make the play. Make the pick. I'm not blaming the coach and Nick Lofton. I need you to make that play. Because Lord knows the Orioles made every play defensively tonight. Sure, a pair of errors in the first, but boy, did they ever make up for that. Santander with a pair of gems in right. Henderson with a gem at short. Adley Rutschman at foul territory making a great sliding catch. Orioles took the game. Royals had chances to take it, but it kept slipping through their fingers. All right, let's get back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. And I agree with you, by the way, Raj. Yeah, you are. The Royals are going to have to scratch and claw for every one of these 50-50 games. But the championship team of 14 and 15, they scratch and clawed for those 50-50 games. That's why, that's why it's the big leagues. It's the best baseball players in the world. We're not rolling over unless you stink. And I don't think this Royals team stinks. Let's go to Jake in Kansas City. Jake, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, I appreciate your knowledge and your passion And so, yeah, I'm sure most of us are disappointed about Nick Lofton. So who's the, if he gets shipped out, who is the person to replace him on the roster?
Well, you would hope, just, you know, health-wise, I would hope that if and when a replacement is needed or is on the way for Nick Lofton, it would be Michael Massey. Massey dealing with that lower back injury that kept him off the opening day roster. Annie Rogers had an update before the game saying that Massey's progressing well and playing in sim games out in Arizona. He's on track to go on a rehab assignment later on this week. So look, if you know Lofton struggles, that would be the avenue for Michael Massey. I mean, in fact, Lofton's only on this team because Massey opened up the season on the IL.
Yeah.
Good take. There you go. All right, man. Yep, appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate you listening. I mean, honestly, my hope was that Michael Massey was going to have to knock the door down, that Adam Frazier and Nick Lofton were going to continue what we saw them do in spring, which is, well, in Frazier's case, execute at a very high level. And in Lofton's case, it's pick up at least one knock in every game he plays. My hope was that Massey would return and not have a spot. Massey would have to go to Omaha and earn his way back to the big leagues. I still think that's the case. Okay, let me take a step back. I'm not just going along with what Jake said. I'm not saying that Lofton needs to go. He's... what, 0 for 6? Yeah, 0 for 6 so far this season. Yeah, not a great start, but Massey's rehab assignment hasn't even started. So a couple weeks, we'll see what Nick Lofton can do. We'll see what Michael Massey can do. Let's go to Sam in Overland Park. Sam, you're on the postgame show as the Royals get walked off in Baltimore. 6-4 the final.
Hey, Vern, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
Well, I was just sitting here watching the game, and I just couldn't stop thinking about how we're in a major league team and we're not making major league plays when we have the bases loaded with, I think it was one or two outs. Like people were swinging for the fences and just watching strikes go right past them. Like those are major league plays you need to capitalize on. And Nick Lofton, if he can't play first base, then don't put him there. I understand that it was like a pinch hit, pinch run thing.
Yeah.
But like, if he can't play there, then we need to find a different person to play there. Like this is a big league game. We need to win big league games. But we can't win them without having big league plays.
Yeah, 100% right. Yeah, no argument from me, Sam. I'm with you, man. Yeah, and Sam talking about the top of the eighth inning, 3-3 game. Bobby Witt Jr. opens up the frame with an opposite field single. Thanks for the phone call. A phone line open for you, 913-586-7610. So after Bobby reaches with that single, he steals second base. Vinny Pasquantino hits a rocket at the first baseman. He reaches first. Bobby's on third. Garrett Hampson comes in to pinch run for Vinny. Steals second base. And just like that, you got second and third. Nobody out in a tie game. And Salvador Perez at the dish. Salvi falls behind in the count 0-2. Excuse me. Second and third with nobody out. Salvi on a 1-0 offering. Grounds out to the left side. Yeah, right to the shortstop. Nobody advances. Oof. Oof. That hurts. Really need Salvi to come through there. Put the ball in the air. Bobby can tag up. Just don't hit it on the ground to the left side, Salvi. And that's exactly what he does. Oh, that hurt. MJ then is intentionally walked to load the bases with one out. Hunter Renfroe sees more pitches in the next at-bat than he did in his previous three trips to the dish. 1-1, Renfroe pops up to the second baseman. And then, yeah, Nick Lofton stared at strike one, missed strike two, and then chased a changeup down and out of the zone for strike three. I'm with you, Sam. Yeah, you got to come through there. Now, to your point of if he can't play first base, don't put him there. I agree with the premise. I don't know if I can go along with Lofton can't play first base. Again, he did last season, had 41 innings at first base. Now, is he a strong first baseman? No. Is Salvi possibly a better first baseman? Yeah, yeah. Maybe the move was put Freddie in there and take Lofton out. Now we got nobody left on our bench. I don't like that. No, I don't like that. I can't disagree with the way that Q went about it. Nick Lofton just needs to make that play defensively. I push back that he can't play first. I will be interested to see, again, what does Q do moving forward with Nick Lofton? Do we see him at first base again? Now, I understand the importance of these early season games, but let's not get it confused. Well, you can do whatever you want. I'll tell you how I approach a season. I'm giving a manager a mulligan here and there. You're still learning your ball club, who can handle what, whether it comes to the bullpen or your bench. You can get burned by a guy once. If you allow a guy to burn you multiple times, that's when I start to point the finger at you. So we'll see. We'll see how Q handles Lofton moving forward. Royals lose tonight 6-4, walked off in Baltimore. Quick timeout. We'll get back to your thoughts after this.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And the pitch. And a swing and a high fly ball hit well. Deep center field. Mullins back and it's gone. A long home run. Bobby Witt Jr. well beyond the 410 sign. A home run. Bobby's second on the year. And the Royals take a 1-0 lead over the Orioles.
Yeah, 2-1 fastball from Dean Kramer. The right-hander started that two-seamer sinker, started in middle, and it ran in slightly, and Bobby put a nice swing on it, 440 feet to center field. It wasn't, Salvi's went 418, Bobby's went 440. Bobby, matching a franchise record by starting the season with an extra base hit in each of the first four games. Bobby's starting this campaign 8-for-16 with 6 extra base hits, and he picked up his first stolen base of the season tonight. Career stolen base number 80. That puts him top 20 in franchise history. And yet the Royals lose 6-4 in walk-off fashion, now 1-3 on the young season. Royals, following that two-out home run from Bobby Witt Jr., had a two-out, two-run home run from Salvador Perez, and they're up 3-0. Michael Wacha has some tough luck to start the fourth as Adley Rutschman fights off a decent pitch to the opposite field for a leadoff double. Anthony Santander then goes to center to plate Adley Rutschman. And this is where Michael Wacha got burned. A 2-2 changeup to Ryan Mountcastle that caught way too much of the plate. Middle of the plate, sure, down in the zone, but still above the knees. And Mountcastle didn't miss it. A two-run shot ties the game up at 3 apiece. We would remain knotted up until the 8th inning. That's when some tough luck for James MacArthur and some rough defense from Nick Lofton at first base sees Baltimore take a 4-3 lead. Royals tie it up in the top of the 9th, and then, as you've likely put together, Orioles win it in the bottom half of the 9th inning again, 6-4, the final. Let's go to the text line, 913-586-7610. Let's also remind you that my game notes, as always, are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. A lot of great reaction on the text line tonight. I'm hoping that continues into the season. From the 913, our friend Bert writing in, should the Royals consider bringing Nick Prado up for Nick Lofton? Or how long would you wait? Prado seems to be hitting well in AAA. Well, again, they've played 3 games, and he was hitting very well in spring, no doubt. But so was Nick Lofton. And I'd venture to guess that however well Prado's hitting right now in Omaha is how well Lofton would be hitting in Omaha. Should they consider bringing in Prado? Certainly not yet. We're 4 games in. Lofton much more versatile than Prado. I think Lofton helps you win right now more so than Nick Prado would. How long would I wait until there's a better option? Michael Massey right now, to me, would be that better option. Possibly. He needs to get healthy, play, perform, and then he'll be a better option. No, no. Great text here. Text line 913-586-7610. So very well put. Vern from the 816, if Nick Lofton is our biggest problem, then I'm happy with that. Yeah. I agree. I like that point. I don't know if fans are necessarily saying he's the biggest problem. He was the biggest problem tonight. But is he the biggest problem on the team? No, the biggest problem on the team is, well, too early in the season. Let me catch myself. Too early in the season to say anything is a problem. Too early in the season to say anything is a trend, right? Now, last year, sure, it was horrible execution in those key moments. Horrible execution with a man on third, less than two outs, runners in scoring position. Sure, yeah, no doubt. But that was expected when you had that many young bats, when you're openly calling it an evaluation season. And while I would agree that that right there, that issue, situational hitting, is, in my opinion, the only way this team does indeed drown in the deep end. These first 6 weeks, the first 2 months of the season that I've deemed the deep end, I think the only way they don't survive is if the offense never finds that confidence, spins itself like a top into the ground, and it turns into a repeat of what we've seen so many years. A team fighting for an identity, fighting to find its footing in the big leagues. And by the time they find it, the All-Star game's already in the rearview mirror. And most of Kansas City's already turned its attention to Patrick Mahomes. Need to win one of these games, one of these jump ball games, in which I believe the Royals are 0-3 in these 50-50 games. You need to win one so that the clubhouse knows it's possible. And furthermore, you need Hunter Renfroe to come up with a big knock for this team to feel as if he's a part of the team. You need Will Smith and Nick Anderson. You need these guys to have their moments. And then you just start slowly and surely, day by day, shedding that pressure. The offense is starting to learn. These young bats are starting to learn that these starting pitchers are going to give us a chance more times than not. That helps you slow your heart rate in those pivotal moments where the game's going to be decided. These young hitters, these returning Royals hitters, they need to see it. They need to see their teammate thrive. They need to see themselves come up in a big spot and win one of these games to know, oh, I can just keep the line moving, hand the baton. I don't need to be hero. I need to be what is my job according to the scoreboard. The score, the inning, the count, the pitcher, what is my plan of attack? What do I need to do right now to help the team win? Not what do I need to do to stay in the big leagues, or what do I need to do to make a name for myself? What do I need to do to get more at-bats? No, what do I need to do right now to win the game, to help my team win the game? Royals need to win a few of those games to teach everyone. If you just do that, the rest will take care of itself. I go back to a conversation I had in spring with Mikel Garcia. He said that's all his cousin Alcides Escobar stressed to him this offseason. Attention to detail and the fundamentals. We won the title in 2015 and didn't have a single guy hit 30 home runs. Let the scoreboard dictate your approach at the dish. Let's go back to the text line, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. From Stefan, he writes in, Vern, your assessment is spot on tonight. Appreciate how you're holding these guys to a different standard this season. With an improved roster comes greater expectations. Signed, Stefan, I'm with you. Now, I'm not going to bang my head against the wall, but until the standings and the season dictates I respond in a different fashion, I'm viewing this as if it's a championship season. That's the focus. I'm not, you know, and you know this, we're not going to wave a white flag. We're not going to treat this collection of big leaguers as if they're anything other than a collection of 26 of the best baseball players on the planet. From the 501, Vern, first inning, they didn't take advantage of two errors. And then in the eighth inning, two on with nobody out. And they're just trying to do too much. Opportunities in the top and bottom of this game killed us. I'm happy to see them scrap and tie it back up. But I totally agree with you. They've had every opportunity to win games like tonight so far this season. A few more from the text line. From the 918. The game was tied going into the bottom of the ninth inning. Vern, they don't have a shutdown closer like they did in the past. That's one way they could win more of these 50-50 games. Yeah, you're right that they don't have a Greg Holland, an old Joaquin Soria, Wade Davis. But they haven't had that guy in, you know, 8 years. For as much as I love Scott Barlow, I don't know if we ever called him a lockdown closer. And no, the Royals don't have a lot of velocity out in that bullpen, but they do have a lot of options. They have a lot of experience. And thus far, that experience hasn't paid off as far as results. Let's hope that experience pays off as far as how they respond. Right? Like the next time we see Nick Anderson, this better not affect him. The next time we see Will Smith, Saturday better not affect him. That's why you pay veterans. Veteran relievers, because they're able to flush it, because they've been through it. They've been to the mountaintop and they've been to the deepest valleys. It's a brutal position. But that's why you're hopefully going to be led by those veteran relievers in those key spots. Need to be better, though, no doubt about it. John Schreiber looked good in his 1-2-3 sixth inning. Chris Stratton worked around a leadoff single. Got a big hand from Michael Garcia, who made a sensational barehanded charging play for the first out of the seventh. For the second straight outing, I thought James MacArthur was better than the results. And then I said what I had to say about Nick Anderson. That was just a bad pitch. No way around it. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Let's go to Phil in Shawnee. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, Burns, just talking about the pitching. Walker, we're paying him a lot of money. He had 72 pitches through five and not a lot of stress. Why is he not pitching the sixth? And then why isn't Will Smith back on the bump on the ninth or in the ninth? Because don't we want to get him right back up there if he's our closer?
Appreciate the phone call, Phil. Both of those things were brought up to the manager, Matt Quatrero, after the game. Let's take a listen to hear how he responded, his answer to those questions
from
the media.
Yeah, it was a really good ball game throughout. It was exciting to get back and tie it off. Kimbrel, he's one of the best closers in recent history. And obviously to lose in that fashion is heartbreaking. But like we've said, that's a good team. It's a good lineup up and down, and they beat us.
What was the decision to go to Anderson in the ninth instead of Will Smith?
Well, on the road, you still have a chance to have a save opportunity later, but, you know, we're playing. We thought the matchup was good at that part in the order for Nick, and that's what we went with.
What did you see out of Michael Walker today?
Yeah, you know, he kept us in the game. He pitched well. I mean, he had one inning there where they got to him. It was a soft hit ball from Rutschman and a good piece of hitting with two strikes from Santander, and then a two-strike homer. So other than that, you know, he pitched really well. His stuff was good. His changeup was moving. He had extra velo on his fastball.
Is he on any sort of pitch limit today?
No, it was more just a decision because it's hard work navigating that lineup. First time out, he's had 7 days off, and just want to, you know, get him out of there at that spot, turning back to the third time through.
There you go. Thanks to Annie Rogers of MLB.com for asking the questions that we, including Phil and Shawnee, wanted to know. Audio courtesy of Bally Sports Kansas City. I have no argument, personally. I have no issue with what we just heard there from Q. Because you put Waka back out there for the sixth. It's Adley Rutschman for a third time. It's Anthony Santander for a third time. And it's Ryan Mountcastle for a third time. Those three were a combined 3 for 5 with 3 runs scored and 3 runs driven in. Yeah, 72 pitches, no doubt. That's a low number. It's not even as if I view Michael Waka as a workhorse. Really, I don't view anybody in this rotation as the horse. The guy where, like we did last year with Jordan Lyles, where it was, bro, I don't care what's going on. I don't care how many runs you've given up. I need you to eat 6 innings. I think the rotation's better this year. Now, not to say that I'm in a hurry to pull guys from the game. No, you got to keep your bullpen rested. That's the only way to keep them at their best. But we're 4 games into the season, an off day on Friday. Schreiber, Stratton, MacArthur, Anderson, I had no issue with it. As I'm managing along with the game, you bring in the righty to face Hayes and Westberg in the ninth. Okay, I'm fine with it. Yes, Will Smith is the closer, but as Q mentioned, if Anderson can shut the door in the ninth, Royals can score in the 10th, you bring Smith in for the bottom of the 10th. I got no issue with the way that Q went about it. But I appreciate you listening. Thanks for the phone call, Phil. Hope we hear from you more often as the season progresses. Royals are walked off in Baltimore. 6-4 the final score. We'll get back to your thoughts and head back in that clubhouse after this.
The pitch from Kramer. Breaking ball, fly ball. Hit well to center. Mullins going back. Mullins looking up, and that ball's gone. A 2-run homer. Off a cutter, Salvador Perez increases the Royals' lead to 3-0. So Bobby goes deep, 2 batters later, Salvi goes deep, and it's 3-0 KC here at Camden Yards.
Oh, great call. Steve Stewart, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio, 2 outs in the third with Vinny on first. Salvi goes bridge for the second time this season. A 1-2 cutter off the plate, and he takes it 418 to just to the right of dead center field. And how about the reaction of Bobby Witt Jr. to that home run? If you saw the reaction in the dugout, Bobby was as animated for that Salvi home run as he has been for really any of the 52 home runs he's hit in his own career. Bobby getting it done in the dugout, getting it done in the batter's box, getting it done on the base paths, getting it done just in the hustle department. After Michael Garcia led the game off with by reaching first after an error on the Orioles' third baseman, Bobby hit a 110-mile-per-hour rocket right at the shortstop, and it wasn't a double play. A hard ground ball hit right to Gunnar Henderson, who's a very good defender, the reigning rookie of the year. Gunnar is unable to start what should have been a routine 6-4-3 double play. Which brings me back to what we heard earlier today on the On Deck show. Salvador Perez talking about Bobby Witt Jr. going to go down as the greatest Royal of all time. Kyle Isbell speaking about Bobby being the best teammate he's ever had. I talk about Bobby celebrating Salvi's home run. Bobby hustling down the first baseline. I told you the stories about spring training where Bobby and Salvi, in whatever drill you're watching, they're fighting to be the first. Salvi fighting to the front of the line to show off his safety squeeze bunting skills. coaching staff's like, Sal, we're never going to ask you to do this. But I'm the captain. I'm the leader. If Freddie's doing it, if you're asking Dyron Blanco to do it, I'm doing it too. When your best players are your hardest workers, can't quantify how important that is. Here's what MLB Network analyst and former All-Star with the Tampa Bay Rays, here's what Carlos Pena had to say about Bobby Witt Jr. and that hustle.
This is what I'm talking about. This guy hustles. This is just a single to right field, right? Everybody else, but not for him. He's busting out of the box immediately. Immediately. He's thinking too, even though there's nothing here that says, hey, I got a double. No, look, the right fielder's right there.
7.7 seconds.
Watch this. Flying, yeah. This is crazy. This guy's absolutely on fire when it comes to running the bases. And this is one of the things that are a clear telltale sign of a professional baseball player, someone who respects the game.
Yeah.
You want to know? Go watch how he runs the bases.
Yeah.
That'll immediately tell you everything about a ball player. Is this guy just going to mail it in, or is this guy hustling? Off the end of the bat, it doesn't matter. This guy is hustling. On the ground, he's hustling. Out of the box, a straight-up ground ball routine play, he's running through first base. And, of course, you see how exciting it is when he just pushes the envelope and tries to get the extra base. That's what I'm looking at. Small details, 30 home runs last year,
yeah.
Yet this guy is still just running balls out like it's nobody's business.
Tonight was Bobby's 12th career game with a stolen base and a home run. Only Ronald Acuna Jr. has more such games since Bobby made his debut. And speaking of hustle, how about Michael Garcia with that hustle double in the fifth inning? You know, what you just heard there from Carlos Pena, him glossing Bobby for that hustle double, a ground ball through the right side that wasn't too far away from the Twins right fielder. Bobby busted it out of the box, and it's a hustle double. Michael Garcia did that same thing, but his was a shallow bloop to left center field. He hustles out of the box and finds himself in scoring position in a tie game, top of the fifth, with only one out. Bobby then flew out, and Vinny Pasquantino grounded out, but a great hustle nonetheless from Michael Garcia. Royals lose 6-4. They're walked off in Baltimore. Bobby homers, Salvi homers, as you heard there from Steve Stewart. Salvi becoming the eighth player in team history with more than 600 runs scored. Let's go back to the text line. A few more good ones coming in. From the 949, Vern, the difference between pennant contending teams such as the Royals in 14 and 15 is situational hitting. It's the same story as usual recently. Runners in scoring position and the lack of hitting with them. Yeah, Royals 1-for-9 tonight with runners in scoring position. Never more glaring than that eighth inning. Tie game, second and third with nobody out and Salvi at the dish. Salvi grounds out, Renfro pops out, and Nick Lofton punches out. From the 920, Vern, the Detroit Tigers won again. Royals are now three games back. I love that you're looking at that. Kelly in Smithville's wondering why they took Vinny out. Well, Kelly, it was in that eighth inning. Bobby Witt Jr. with the leadoff single. Steals second base, and then Vinny hits a rocket right at the first baseman, reaches on an infield single. And the Royals had first and third with nobody out. It's my opinion, you pull Vinny Pasquantino because you want to give Garrett Hampson the opportunity to get in scoring position as well and put up a crooked number. Hampson comes in, steals second base, and as I mentioned, you had a chance to put up a crooked number, but Perez, Renfro, and Nick Lofton unable to capitalize. I thought it was the proper move. It's the eighth inning. You're down to your final six outs, more than likely. No, go for it. And if you're not going to use guys like Hampson and Blanco in those situations, why are they on the team? From the 913, Vern, you can't go 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Sounds just like last year's team, and I know it's not last year's team, but I'm going to need to see improvements if I'm going to believe they have a chance. Yeah, and that's your right. That's how you should feel. I got no issue with that. From the 913, Vern, Nick Lofton will have better days, but that just can't happen in a big league game. It's unacceptable. Yeah, unacceptable, yes. I mean, we accept that errors are a part of the game. But I'm with you. I'm certainly more with you than someone that wants to lay it at the feet of the coaching staff for putting Nick Lofton at first base. Make the play. And now we see what Q does with that information. What does the coaching staff do with the information they were able to glean tonight about Nick Lofton's ability at first base? How soon do we see him back there? Do they allow themselves to be burnt again? Do they get burnt again? It's a very small storyline. From the 816, Vern, stop making excuses. This Royals team is trash, and Hunter Renfro is the next Hunter Dozier. Well, they didn't draft. They didn't draft Hunter Renfro. He's not going to be here very long. He goes on to say, by the way, the Royals won yesterday, Vern, but even a blind monkey finds a bushel of bananas every now and again. Wow. Never heard that one. I like that. I mean, I don't know how true it is. I think a blind monkey dies. To be quite honest with you, I think that's just natural selection in the monkey world. But I don't know. Maybe they do find bushels of bananas and live vibrant lives. Who knows? On that note, I think that lets us all know that we turn our attention to tomorrow and Alec Marsh, who squares off with the lefty Cole Irvin. 5:35 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 4:30. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for texting. Really good text messages tonight. Appreciate the phone calls for the first road game. I hope it continues. If you ever missed the post-game show, you can download it. Subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast. I'd appreciate it. Thanks to Nathan Williams for the help back at the studio. Great job as always. Royals are walked off in Baltimore. 6-4 the final. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night. Take care.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The pitch from Kramer. Breaking ball, fly ball, hit well to center. Mullins going back. Mullins looking up, and that ball's gone. A two-run homer off a cutter. Salvador Perez increases the Royals' lead to 3-0. So Bobby goes deep. Two batters later, Salvi goes deep, and it's 3-0 KC here at Camden Yards.
Oh, great call. Steve Stewart, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Two outs in the third with Vinny on first. Salvi goes bridge for the second time this season. A 1-2 cutter off the plate, and he takes it 418 to just to the right of dead center field. And how about the reaction of Bobby Witt Jr. to that home run? If you saw the reaction in the dugout, Bobby was as animated for that Salvi home run as he has been for really any of the 52 home runs he's hit in his own career. Bobby getting it done in the dugout, getting it done in the batter's box, getting it done on the base paths, getting it done just in the hustle department. After Michael Garcia led the game off with by reaching first after an error on the Orioles' third baseman, Bobby hit a 110-mile-per-hour rocket right at the shortstop, and it wasn't a double play. A hard ground ball hit right to Gunnar Henderson, who's a very good defender, the reigning rookie of the year. Gunnar is unable to start what should have been a routine 6-4-3 double play. Which brings me back to what we heard earlier today on the On Deck Show. Salvador Perez talking about Bobby Witt Jr. going to go down as the greatest Royal of all time. Kyle Isbell speaking about Bobby being the best teammate he's ever had. I talk about Bobby celebrating Salvi's home run. Bobby hustling down the first baseline. I told you the stories about spring training, where Bobby and Salvi, in whatever drill you're watching, they're fighting to be the first. Salvi fighting to the front of the line to show off his safety squeeze bunting skills. Coaching staff's like, Sal, we're never going to ask you to do this. But I'm the captain. I'm the leader. If Freddie's doing it, if you're asking Dairon Blanco to do it, I'm doing it too. When your best players are your hardest workers, can't quantify how important that is. Here's what MLB Network analyst and former All-Star with the Tampa Bay Rays, here's what Carlos Pena had to say about Bobby Witt Jr. and that hustle.
This is what I'm talking about. This guy hustles. This is just a single to right field, right? Everybody else, but not for him. He's busting out of the box immediately. Immediately. He's thinking too, even though there's nothing here that says, hey, I got a double. No, look, the right fielder is right there.
7.7 seconds.
Watch this. Lying, yeah. This is crazy. This guy's absolutely on fire when it comes to running the bases. And this is one of the things that are a clear telltale sign of a professional baseball player, someone who respects the game.
Yeah.
You want to know? Go watch how he runs the bases.
Yeah.
That'll immediately tell you everything about a ball player. Is this guy just going to mail it in, or is this guy hustling? Off the end of the bat, it doesn't matter. This guy is hustling. On the ground, he's hustling. Out of the box, a straight-up ground ball routine play, he's running through first base. And, of course, you see how exciting it is when he just pushes the envelope and tries to get the extra base. That's what I'm looking at. Small details, 30 home runs last year,
yeah.
Yet this guy is still just running balls out like it's nobody's business.
Tonight was Bobby's 12th career game with a stolen base and a home run. Only Ronald Acuna Jr. has more such games since Bobby made his debut. And speaking of hustle, how about Michael Garcia with that hustle double in the fifth inning? You know, what you just heard there from Carlos Pena, him glossing Bobby for that hustle double, a ground ball through the right side that wasn't too far away from the Twins right fielder. Bobby bust it out of the box, and it's a hustle double. Michael Garcia did that same thing, but his was a shallow bloop to left center field. He hustles out of the box and finds himself in scoring position in a tie game, top of the fifth with only one out. Bobby then flew out, and Vinny Pasquantino grounded out, but a great hustle nonetheless from Michael Garcia. Royals lose 6-4. They're walked off in Baltimore. Bobby homers, Salvi homers, as you heard there from Steve Stewart. Salvi becoming the eighth player in team history with more than 600 runs scored. Let's go back to the text line. A few more good ones coming in. From the 949, Vern, the difference between pennant contending teams such as the Royals in 14 and 15 is situational hitting. It's the same story as usual recently. Runners in scoring position and the lack of hitting with them. Yeah, Royals 1-for-9 tonight with runners in scoring position. Never more glaring than that eighth inning. Tie game, second and third with nobody out and Salvi at the dish. Salvi grounds out, Renfro pops out, and Nick Lofton punches out. From the 920, Vern, the Detroit Tigers won again. Royals are now three games back. I love that you're looking at that. Kelly in Smithville's wondering why they took Vinny out. Well, Kelly, it was in that eighth inning. Bobby Witt Jr. with the leadoff single. Steals second base, and then Vinny hits a rocket right at the first baseman, reaches on an infield single. And the Royals had first and third with nobody out. It's my opinion, you pull Vinny Pasquantino because you want to give Garrett Hampson the opportunity to get in scoring position as well and put up a crooked number. Hampson comes in, steals second base, and as I mentioned, you had a chance to put up a crooked number, but Perez, Renfro, and Nick Lofton unable to capitalize. I thought it was the proper move. It's the eighth inning. You're down to your final six outs, more than likely. No, go for it. I mean, if you're not going to use guys like Hampson and Blanco in those situations, why are they on the team? From the 913, Vern, you can't go 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Sounds just like last year's team, and I know it's not last year's team, but I'm going to need to see improvements if I'm going to believe they have a chance. Yeah, and that's your right. That's how you should feel. I got no issue with that. From the 913, Vern, Nick Lofton will have better days, but that just can't happen in a big league game. It's unacceptable. Yeah, unacceptable, yes. I mean, we accept that errors are a part of the game. But I'm with you. I'm certainly more with you than someone that wants to lay it at the feet of the coaching staff for putting Nick Lofton at first base. Make the play. And now we see what Q does with that information. What does the coaching staff do with the information they were able to glean tonight about Nick Lofton's ability at first base? How soon do we see him back there? Do they allow themselves to be burnt again? Do they get burnt again? It's a very small storyline. From the 816, Vern, stop making excuses. This Royals team is trash, and Hunter Renfro is the next Hunter Dozier. Well, they didn't draft. They didn't draft Hunter Renfro. He's not going to be here very long. He goes on to say, by the way, the Royals won yesterday, Vern, but even a blind monkey finds a bushel of bananas every now and again. Wow. Never heard that one. I like that. I mean, I don't know how true it is. I think a blind monkey dies. To be quite honest with you, I think that's just natural selection in the monkey world. But I don't know. Maybe they do find bushels of bananas and live vibrant lives. Who knows? On that note, I think that lets us all know that we turn our attention to tomorrow and Alec Marsh, who squares off with the lefty Cole Irvin. 5:35 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 4:30. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for texting. Really good text messages tonight. Appreciate the phone calls for the first road game. I hope it continues. If you ever missed the post-game show, you can download it. Subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast. I'd appreciate it. Thanks to Nathan Williams for the help back at the studio. Great job as always. Royals are walked off in Baltimore. 6-4 the final. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night. Take care.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.